I would like to know something about the impact of separation, divorce on a child. I think it's the main topic in the film.
Yeah, I can see that. When I wrote this story many years ago, it was a big issue. I mean, in my life and in general, what happened to a child when you divorce? A child, parents is the most, is the worst adults to be in a child's near when, because they have this arguing and screaming to each other, hatred between the parents, and you leave the kid alone in a way, and then the kid has to, from his mental welfare, he has to search another company. As the kid does in the film, otherwise he is lost. And what happened in Sweden nowadays is that divorce have increased a lot. So we have a marriage in Stockholm, for instance, is in average less than 10 years. And the marriage hostages is also very common, that one parent take the kid and say you to the other parent that you can't meet the kid again. And so in the last year 60% increase of parents dragging them into court because of the kids, and 60% increase of this, of the kids needing psychological help. So it's a sort of a society who explodes from inside the family, and that was an issue I was interested in then when I wrote it, and it's more and more up to date.
How do you explain this? Because looking on statistics, well, Sweden...
What do you say?
I'm saying that looking on statistics, Sweden seems, you know, nearly paradise, very democratic, very, without financial problems. I'm wondering how do you explain this increasing...
I don't know. It's a paradox, because nowadays we treat kids like our equals. We put them on pedestals, and we have I don't know if that's common in others. We call them to curl the kids. You go... You sweep before the stone, and on the other hand, we treat them like shit. So, especially now, if you have a kid who is, treated with when you treat a kid like this, he's your equal, she's your equal, and then the other day, ruin the kid's life. And the kids nowadays in this paradise in Sweden, they have no shield.
And this increasing value of divorces, broken relationships, how do you explain it?
Because there's others. The holy marriage is no longer. It's like jobs. Nowadays, there's no one who thinks they will have the same job all the life. And for the second, in the old peasant society, you needed each other. No, you don't need the children. You don't need your wife. You just keep the relation in with love, maybe together. And when the love ends, you split.
In Eskil Trindad, you also wrote the story, and there's much more drama because he's not only lost his mother, who is not with him, he's always moving, he's always on the move. Mm. New school, new team, new friends. Mm. When did this come up? So was the divorce first in your story, and then he said, okay, and...
Now, I can tell you that it started long ago when I was in a divorce myself, and my kid, then 5-6 years old, my boy, I hadn't... I had problems to see him, and when I did, he was angry at me. But the thing we had in common was telling stories, So he told me once when he was sad, is it just me who is going through this? And then I found out, I made up a story. No, there's another guy living up in north called Eskil. So it started.
And also you show this environment of small city, which under the surface of middle class, you know, well-going city, there's a lot of intolerance, there's a lot of... those people are closer, for example, on Trinidad, who is different. I'm wondering, is it how you see, well, part of Sweden?
Yeah, especially up north, it's mm-hmm. a lot of religious people. There is a lot of, you know, when you walk on the street, there is people looking at you, they're intolerant. Mm-hmm. There's always one who is not invited in the society. And especially in this religious headquarters of the inner of Norrbotten, where this is located, it's a lot of this intolerance.
Can you please talk about the work with the actors, especially him and with the Trinidad?
Yeah, it can. I mean, it's a difference working with kids and with adults. In Trinidad's case, played by Ann Petrén, who is one of Sweden's most well-known and skillful actors. I knew her before, privately, so I decided that I give her a bid, so to speak, that I show her my script and invite her to do the role, and then she give me her bid. To what she want to do with the role, and then we sort of accustomed to we can have a compromise in what we were doing, but after that we didn't have much of discussion, we just filmed. And with the boy, it's different. Linus is a hockey player, very skillful hockey player, but he hadn't acted before, so he had. Sort of coach him to act, but it took just a week, and he didn't know that it was difficult, so he just played.
Can you tell us about this, your side of the story as well?
Hur det var att lära sig att börja skådespela?
It was fun, and when we were there. First day was nervous and I felt it in the stomach, and when the first scene was done I just relaxed and focused the next day, and it was much better, and it just go on, and I started to film and act much better, cause it was hur säger man det?
Vilket det var?
Typ att det var mycket lättare och man lärde känna alla och man kände sig bekväm.
You get to know everybody.
I get to know everybody and it was much bekvämare.
Ja, comfort.
It was much comfortable there, yeah.
And you speak the two languages?
In the movie, yeah.
The way you speak them?
In real life, I speak a bit English in the school and Swedish, but in the movie, I speak, how do you say the Danish?
Danish.
Oh, yeah, Danish. And I learned, it was just a few words, and I learned really. It was a bit hard, but I learned how to do them. I speak with a Danish man, and he learned me to say the words.
Did you feel with the boy? Could you imagine his situation?
Not really, but... After a tag.
After a while,
I started to recognize how it is to be, to have the worst parents, and how it's to be when your parents fight with the mouths all the time, and yeah.
And I'm wondering, it's very different from what you've done before, but I'm wondering, there's what's in common with Wallander and Instinct of a Wolf, that was Polish title, like, but then and the film is this feeling of sadness, and even ironical feeling of sadness, both in Criminals and in Eskil. I'm wondering, where does it come from?
I mean, in the beginning of the career, you're gun for hire. You're doing every. I've been doing comedy, drama, thrillers, so, and a kids' film.
Soon as Summer.
What?
Soon as Summer.
It's Soon as Summer. Yes. Yes. Mm-hmm. And I mean, if you don't know the limits or the sharp edges between these genres, it's not hard. It's the same job, in fact. But I decided, I've done 7 Wallander and 2 Norwegian thrillers as well. And after that, I found out that I did want to do a film where nobody dies. Because they're so, not just for me, but it's for the audience that in Sweden, it's very popular with thrillers and soft crimes. So. Mm. And so you sort of accustom the audience that every time you put on the TV and see a drama, there is a dead body in it. And I get tired of that.
And how do you explain this popularity of thrillers with dead bodies in it?
Well, it's in Sweden, it's a long tradition of writing criminal stories. And then now they export it to many countries. Mm. But it's the lowest in man. It's the lowest. When you drive and see a car accident, you slow the speed and look. Mm-hmm. It's the same with thriller. You get thrilled by people shot in their eyes or whatever. I don't know. It's everybody does it. Everybody loves to see people get massacred. On movies.
In this international career, because Sweden became one of the biggest exporting countries of
yes, we're good at it, and it's dark in Sweden, so
it has to do something with Utøya, I read.
With
Utøya.
That was an the final. I think I was about to quit filming because I did two Norwegian back-to-back thrillers just before Utøya, and I has to do with some of the cops. They were in my films too. I get to know some of the cops who were the first at Utøya, so I could sort of imagine. I had problems to sleep for some weeks, and then going and going on TV, it was this thriller, this fucking thrillers, all over again. Mm. People shooting each other with machine guns. Some 500 kilometers from there where I was, there was youngsters who had been killed. It was horrible. It was I quit, and then a colleague reminded me of this old story I had. Do this instead, and I was very lucky to do it.
How did you two work together? So how did you tell him what you want? It's not just about the script, we know.
Hur vi jobbade ihop? Well, as I said, Linus is a good hockey player, and he have been. Hur länge har du hållit på med hockey?
Sen I was 8 years old.
You have been playing hockey.
And you're now?
12. I've been playing hockey in 4 to 5 years.
Yes. So he's used with coaches. So the most natural way to direct him was to coach him.
Yeah.
Like a coach, a hockey coach.
How did that work? Can you tell us?
It worked fine. He said that what I should do, and I did it. So it was fine.
So was it more about emotions or face reactions or impressions?
Also, I mean, I don't
know. Yeah, also there was sense. I can say that when there were emotions involved, I told him all about the emotions. And then
how
he just played.
Can you make an example?
Well, when he has to meet his mother in the this disappointment of his mother's, what the mother says to him in the hockey hall, it was like it's easy for all of us to understand the feeling that the hope when your mother shows up and when the disappointment when she fails. And it's just like you talk to adult people. That's vi snackade om det. We talked about the situation, and you're going to meet your mother, and she's going to disappoint you. And then there's text, and then you go through the text and you film and decide where the emotion is. And then he plays it,
and it's easy for you. It's a piece of cake.
Almost.
He's a natural talent.
And did you speak to those friends, cops you met that were on Utøya?
Yeah, the we called the swap team that mm-hmm. went out there. I used them on a film some months ago.
And what did they tell you?
And I didn't meet them afterwards, but when it was. Yeah, when you know people a little, you can see with their eyes what they have been to be out there. So it was very, so extra easy to live in, to be living in to their situation.
Last question,
I think. But can you tell about the role, the goalkeeper, the female goalkeeper, something you wanted to get the girls in the cinema also?
Yeah, long time ago when I started to write the script, it was a discussion in the Swedish sports, especially football and hockey, when the girls want to play hockey too, and the old sport journalists were just laughing their heads off, you know, it's girls in a hockey rink, you know. But at that time, it showed up that especially for goalkeepers, I mean, it's about reflexes, and you don't have to be big and strong. So there was a Swedish hockey goalie called Kim Martin, who was very successful, and she played with men often. Mm. So it was easy to fantasize about a girl being a good goalie.
There's also a very Swedish sense of humor in your film. Could you describe it in a way?
The humor?
The Swedish sense of humor.
You can see it as a Swedish humor, or is mm-hmm. it universal? Mm-hmm.
Well, that's my question to you.
Yeah, but you understand your humor, then it's mm-hmm. universal. it's not typical Swedish, I think. Mm-hmm. It's I mean, most situations you can mm-hmm. find a little humorous glimpse mm-hmm. of.
And I had this scene in the class when he says, when he leaves and he says, well, fuck you.
Yeah, but that we found out in the situation, because that extra, that guy who sits there, you can see that he's a loser too. Mm. And this is the two losers in the class, and he wants to say, he's the only one to say, hey, bye. And the other was, I don't want to be with you, you fucker.